Hello, everyone. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Jenny. Hi, Jenny.
Hey, Becky.
And Leah. Hi, Leah.
Hi.
And Lindsay. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi.
That might be the worst opening ever.
Here's the thing. I had to say it. I couldn't just leave it hanging.
You could have waited and we could have picked the conversation up after I said the hello and started the episode.
Why would we do such crazy things like that?
I don't know. Like this is our first time.
That would be logical.
Well, and we know logic
that
isn't happening on your side of the table.
Hey. It does sometimes.
Y'all know me. I just create chaos wherever I go.
We
true. And in person.
We welcome
honestly,
your chaos.
Honestly, it's Lindsay's fault. She's the one who brought it up.
True. Hi, everyone. Welcome, everyone. We are finally getting to our review episode of Zom Rom-Com. It looks like it's us and Stacy here tonight.
Yay. Hi, Stacy.
Okay, so I'm going to be really honest. This one came out in what? August?
October.
Nuh-uh.
Wait, what?
Release date was October.
No, it wasn't, because we originally were going to do this in September.
I'm Googling
According to the doc that I'm looking
at. Oh, the doc also had the wrong series name in it.
August,
so it does.
Maybe it is
what is this?
August 5th, 2025.
August 5th, 2025.
Oh, listen, yeah, it also says October 8th, 2024.
Sometimes I do this as I'm drinking my coffee for the day. And I'll be honest, this was a, today was a 2 cup of coffee to Alani kind of morning. So
we're both typing.
Yeah, I changed the series name too, because I was like, I am 100% sure that is incorrect. So,
okay.
I can fix it. Yeah.
You have to fix it. Okay, so this was August 5th. So I read this book at the end of July.
Yeah, because we got it like right when it came pretty early, like on Neck Alley.
And
you know, you get books so much earlier than us, and then you tell them that they're so good, and then like you got it as an ARC and it wasn't out yet. So I couldn't place a library hold on it. And then I waited like a week and a half after it came out to place my library hold. And then I bought it, and then we changed our date. I returned it because the date we canceled,
and then you had to wait again.
I finally got my library hold, and I was like, oh, I don't have to have bought this for, I think it was like $22 or something. I was like, hey, Amazon, will you fix this? And they were like, yeah.
Yeah, so fair. Sorry. Yeah.
And I get my chaos, not yours.
Okay, so I meant to I only re-listened to the first half, because this last week with the girl child breaking her finger and life, I did not get as much listened to as I wanted to.
It's such a good audiobook too.
I really did enjoy the audio, but I only got about half of it.
It's okay. I will say, so I tried eyeballing this one, and it was okay for me as a eyeball read, but I really like the audiobook.
Well, in
I'm not usually an audio person, and I would agree.
Yeah, so Amanda eyeball read this one, mm-hmm. and it did not live up for her. Like, she was like, it was 3 stars. I don't really love this. I don't think it was great. And I'm like, really? Because I really loved it, and I thought it was great. I think
wasn't it Joy Nash, though, who did the audiobook?
Yes.
And she does his voice really well, too. Mm-hmm. And because, like, I would read during my lunch break, like eyeball read, so like I heard her voice in my head. Like, if there's I didn't have that, it would not have had the same effect.
Also, there's it's just wrong on our doc about who the audio narrators are.
Yeah, I
oh
was
my
gonna
goodness.
Say
our whole doc just our, means
we're just not gonna read the doc because it's all wrong.
There was a male narrator?
No,
it was a single.
No,
it
was all.
It wasn't dual point of view. It was third person, though. That is correct.
Wait, it was dual point of view. Yeah, third person, right? We get his point of view, don't we? No.
Yeah. No, not really.
No. So it's single POV, third person.
Yes.
Which is typically what we get from
Olivia Dade.
Yes. And I do think that is starting to harm her readability.
Yeah.
Because I can do third person. I have zero issues with third person. I mean, I can even handle the head hopping. You know, like,
well,
but not having his, but not having his POV, I do think you spend some time going, huh?
Well, like, and especially in a book like this, like, you need it. But I will say, like, I had a really hard time with the eyeballing. Like, it just, it's her stories, like, they tend to start on the slower side. So, like, there's a little bit more build up until stuff really starts to happen, which is fine. And a lot of times that doesn't bug me. It was just me at the time. But, like, I really like the audiobook, since I think it's because I speed them up, so it seems like things happen a little bit faster than normal.
Also, this was a Berkeley book. Like, this whole doc is wrong, you guys.
Yeah, we're not, like I said, we're not going to read any of the doc.
And Jen Ellen is right. New readers really want dual POV. So I think you...
In first person.
You... Well, but I think you can forgive a third person deep. If yeah. we, because if we look at Krista Sandor, her books are third person deep.
Yeah.
You know, she's just now contemplating writing first person.
Yeah.
And so if we look at those, we love those stories. Those stories are funny. But you get third person deep from both perspectives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and there's like an even.
Oh, I was going to say the Hellbent series, Aurora Asher did the whole thing in third person. Mm-hmm. And so in the first book in particular, you get a lot of different views.
There's a lot of head hopping, yeah.
And I actually felt like that worked for the way they told those stories and it didn't bother me.
Well, there was a cinematic
delivery.
Don't you think there was a cinematic way that story was told?
Very much. That whole series,
versus this one didn't, although I keep comparing it to like Shaun of the Dead or At World's End, and this did not have a cinematic vibe to it.
No, it had more of like a kitschy
which vibe. If I'm really honest, it was this book that prompted me to write the Substack that came out today, that not every book needs a TV adaptation.
Yeah, this one doesn't need it. Wait, is this getting a TV adaptation?
No, but I was thinking some of the ones that they've listed that are getting them. I'm sorry, this was way more entertaining than the first three chapters of Shield and Sparrow that I read.
I didn't read that.
Or even, what's the one that we just read? Something we just read that I was like...
That narrows it down.
I don't know.
Very good book.
Who was it even... By what was it about? Like, we need more context.
Are you talking about the Bromberg book?
We all read it, or
I don't even know.
The Kristen Proby book?
No, because she doesn't have a. It was somebody that has a TV deal
that does not.
That we read the book, and I was like, or I read the book, and I'm like, Jen Ellen is like, I love Becky's Substacks lately. Listen, I'm starting to feel like the old lady screaming at people to get off my lawn.
Dude, Becky, I'm currently at work. In the morning, sometimes, like, when things are quiet, if I don't have a lot going on and I just need to, like, internally rage, I'll just, like, take notes from your Substack into a little journal. I'm not joking!
So, Becky, her one Substack, she sent it to Amanda and I.
It was raging.
She's like, read this. And we're like, well, here's the thing. Maybe not use these sentences because they're a little mean. It's like some people may not realize this was ragey, but it comes off of very ragey. Yeah. You need to pull back just a little.
Jen Ellen's like
the group chat.
Jen Ellen's like, ask her character names. Do not ask me character names.
Jen Ellen, she doesn't know character names like of the current book.
Go ahead.
I think the highest compliment from Becky would be if she remembers the character names from the book. That's how you know it's a really good
book.
And
she pronounces them
correctly. Or a really, really, really bad book.
I was going to say it's one or the other.
There's no like in between. Yeah,
there isn't.
When those names stick out, you know it's great or the worst thing she's ever read.
It's funny, Jenna, I think I said this on Sunday's episode. On Saturday, I worked at my friend's new bookstore and we played a game where... the readers that were waiting in line were like, ask Becky a scenario and she'll tell you a book that works for that scenario. And I was like, I'm not sure that's a really fun game. But then somebody on Saturday did ask me, they're like, oh, who's that book by? And I'm like,
that's a really good question.
That's a really good question. I can tell you what the cover looks like and I can tell you the title.
That's for the internet.
That's all you need.
I was like, let me look on my Goodreads. Like, you have to look on your Goodreads. I'm like, I can look on my website too, because I read a lot of books. It happens. Okay, I'm going to do the things to start because I think we probably have screwed up so many. So we'll just do it real quick. The title is The Zom Rom-Com. Olivia Day did write it. I don't even think this is a series. Is this going to be a series?
No. Yes, it is. It
could be, but she has an announced book too. Wait, the what?
Supernatural Entanglement.
So that part is correct?
I changed that part. What?
Wait, oh, it is who in is the back book of the two, book. Though?
Gwen.
Oh.
Wait, what?
Yes. Where did you see this magicness?
In the book, it is there.
Is it in the end stuff that I don't
know? It's not in the audio book. The last two paragraphs are like Gwen's point of view. And she's like,
I totally missed that.
Because they're like talking about, we're totally jumping ahead, but like they're talking about like how they're going to like resolve their situation. Like, and Gwen knows somebody that's like insert, but not like in with the government and will possibly believe that she.
Okay, I'm going to the last couple chapters because I don't believe
in
you.
The back of the paperback are discussion questions.
Yes, they are really good.
It's in this too. Under what circumstances eating a cold burrito acceptable even after it's been used to swat a zombie's snout?
Always.
I mean, really, I don't like a cold burrito though. I don't know if I could do that.
Yeah, the cheese got hard. She was chewing. Yeah.
I mean, like, but if you're hungry,
But she wasn't dying of hunger. Like, a burrito was like...
Yeah, but think about the effort she had to put out to swat at that zombie. Like, the physicality of it. You burn calories. You need to eat.
But I don't like cold burritos. Like,
he didn't have any human food, so that's fair.
Okay, but the second part of that question, if you were designing a burrito as a zombie-fighting weapon, which toppings would you use?
The spiciest, like... spiciest like ghost peppers, so the capsaicin. Ghost peppers
aren't the spiciest now, there's another one, but
so the capsaicin is still in it, and then like you could throw it the burrito fillings in their eyes, like the hottest
pepper on the Scoville scale.
Don't you think?
Okay, do you want, I'm gonna ask question number
let me finish these.
I was like, we haven't even got through the thing.
Okay, August 5th of 2025 is when this book was released.
We think.
Grumpy Sunshine, Forced Proximity, It's Paranormal, Found Family, Neighbors to Lovers, Age Gap.
She is not older. We had this conversation this morning. She is,
though, but not.
Physically, she is older. It's a joke
the whole time about how many centuries old Max is.
Right.
So she is not older.
Trying to, like, date him.
Like I said, he just looks like a surfer bro. So it doesn't count.
Okay, it doesn't count.
There is an age gap.
I have a philosophical question about that. Like, everything we've read about vampires, like, would they make that choice to look that way?
Okay, wait.
Get to choose?
I don't know that there's.
Do they get to choose though?
I don't think they get to choose.
Don't you look like when you turn to a.
Stacey said maybe a bean burrito.
When you wait, okay, stop reading the chat. Let's finish this about the vampires.
Anyway, when you
become a vampire, does that, so it freezes your looks? Can you alternate your looks?
No, because his parents were vampires, right?
Yeah,
he was born a vampire. A baby vampire when his parents were killed,
like,
in front of him.
But it might be because there are some like vampire lore stories for like once you hit a certain age.
Does anybody watch the TV show Ghost on CBS?
Mm-hmm. I love that show.
What? Oh my God, Lindsay, it's so
you
freaking
would really
hilarious.
Like it,
they get sucked off. I mean, it's not sucked off, but sucked off. It's so funny.
That's when they go up or down.
It's when they go up or down. Yeah. But like, they can't. The one guy has been going around since the 90s without pants. He can't put pants on.
Because you die, like, they died, like, what they were wearing, and he didn't have pants on.
I also love all the cholera people in the basement.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. We are off topic.
I feel like tonight is worse than normal, too. Just throwing that out there.
My fault.
It's not your fault.
It's not your fault.
But, and we didn't answer your question because we don't have the answer.
I don't know. I mean, philosophically, do you think that vampires get to choose how they look? Because let's think about Bill from Suke. Would you choose to look like that if you didn't have to? You know?
Can they see themselves in the mirror, though?
This is true.
He said they can.
In her lore, they can.
I'm just saying, like, depending on which book you're reading...
Yes,
like which
the lore is different.
Like, if they can't see themselves, they don't know what the fuck they look like.
This is true.
So but in this book, just
stay
he can
however
see
it is when they, like, how does that make sense? Like, do they grow hair? Do they get haircuts? Like,
he didn't have any hair below the neck. It was in the book.
Think how much easier life would be. Like,
because she asked him about it.
Like, not to have to shave my legs because there was no hair there would be, like, amazing.
Okay, wait. So point of view is third person, single third person. The audio narrator is Joy Nash. I think she did a phenomenal job.
She did amazing, yes.
This is a traditionally published book by Berkeley, not by Avon.
Where did you even get this information from?
I don't know. I don't really know at this point. I thought I copied and pasted, but I had multiple
screen-ups. Just the wrong book.
Content trigger warnings, grief, loss of loved ones in the past, violence and gore related to zombie attacks, blood injury descriptions, discussion of death and trauma, some sexual content, and explicit language. I copied that off of somebody else's.
Some sexual content.
Right.
Well, because there wasn't a lot of sexy times, you guys.
No.
And it was on a small couch that they had to like squeeze on.
Yeah. Okay, so I do have the special wrap edition from Love
that.
Sweet Arrow. So pretty.
Mine's in a box somewhere.
Okay, so Stacy says a bean burrito.
Yeah.
What other kind of toppings are important if you're going to use it as a weapon? I think corn. Little corn niblets flicked at you. I bet they would hurt.
Maybe.
Or it'll back you up and you won't poop for a week.
Burrito is not the weapon of choice. Like, I am not going into the zombie apocalypse armed with a burrito. Like, I will wrap that burrito up after I cook it in aluminum foil so it's warm when I'm ready to eat it. But I am not using it as a weapon.
But also... if I am in the zombie apocalypse, I am not surviving. Like,
right.
I'm probably one of the first to go.
Okay, Leah, ask your third question.
This is number three on the list. Would you rather wear macrame bikini briefs or a sheepskin thong? But wait, there's a part two. Which one would result in the most intractable and chafing wedgie?
I think the macrame.
Think about
it, because... that's like basically knitted and your pubes would get caught in it.
But it's also
but he said his testicles got stuck in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's really funny that he's like YouTube famous for his glow ups.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he gets like grumpy about it when people recognize him. It's like, dude, what were you thinking? Like, did you expect people not to recognize you?
Yeah. So the characters in this book are Edie and Max.
Or Gaston.
Oh, there's a question about that.
Okay.
If you were dedicating your own version of the Gaston song to Max, which grassland creature would you have him ostensibly fellating and why?
Oh. Grass-fed character?
Grassland creature.
What are, like, a zebra or a donkey? A sheep?
Like, is it anything that's on the grass?
I think so. I think it's just like a general. What is a grassland creature?
A Highland cow?
They're so cute. Like a bison? A prairie dog?
A prairie dog is a grassland creature?
A honey badger?
No. Did you just Google it?
Yeah, of course I Googled it. What did you expect me to do?
I thought we were coming up with these off the top of our head. Like, I didn't Google anything.
Of course I'm going to Google it. Yeah. A badger.
I think the answer for that question then is a badger.
I agree.
What are some of the other questions? Are these good questions? Should I have used these instead of our...
There's some pretty good questions.
There's some funny ones. Okay, here, this is the last one. At which abandoned store in an old mall would you most like to be given an orgasm? If it is the Gap, so you can snicker and say, come on, fall into my Gap to your partners. Why not? Do you remember that commercial and like tagline?
Nope.
There's like a whole song. It was the early like 2000s.
The mall. I think you got to go with like the Pottery Barn or William and Sonoma, because at least then you might have like a couch or an overstuffed chair. Oh no. What was the mall store in the late 90s, early Sharper Image?
Yeah.
That sold the personal massagers and
yes.
Specialty. Did you not have a Sharper Image?
They talked about the Sharper Image store in this.
They did.
It was like a made for TV store,
but more expensive, like $1,000 for stuff.
Yeah, it was crazy.
I've never seen one of these.
If you went,
they don't exist anymore.
If you watch Sex and the City, remember when Samantha takes Cynthia Nixon's character Miranda to the mall to buy her personal massager?
Mm-hmm.
They take her to the Sharper Image.
Yeah.
And it plugs in, and I find that fascinating.
Jeremy said Spencer's.
Spencer's. That's a good answer, too.
Spencer's.
Okay, is there such a thing as too many orgasms? Why or why not? If someone gives you 6 orgasms and was unbearably smug about it, would you be willing to acknowledge all of them? Why is no one answering this? Let's answer the questions, ladies.
I think there's some physical capability limits.
Well,
but when you read certain BDSM books, like the like multiple.
Jeremy says, no, everyone needs O's. Okay.
Because there's the like the pleasure doms, and it's like they just give multiple orgasms.
Then I think about that Kat Singleton book where it's like 42 pages.
I mean, who has time for that?
That one scene?
Yeah.
It's wait, what book?
That Black Ties, White Lies book.
Oh, it's like a whole chapter.
No, it's like 6 consecutive chapters.
Well, I don't. It's a lot. It's just too much. Like,
I just feel like it'd be painful, like friction.
But it's also not realistic because.
And is that like rug burn?
There's some physical capability limits.
I don't know.
Stacy said maybe 4.
Maybe 4.
Jeremy says, I guess so. You have kids, then you're on the clock.
I mean, he's not wrong.
He's not wrong. You gotta sneak that in when you can.
If you were dedicating your own... we did that one already. The Gaston song.
Yeah, a honey badger.
Okay, wait. What is the counterfeit money question?
Yeah, what would Doug be doing? I mean, he's gotta have like a cooking show, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He'd be an influencer.
Doug would readily share everything.
Doug would be like the Matt guy that does baked baking on TikTok. Do you ever watch him?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He also doesn't wear pants when he cooks. Does anybody else notice that?
He's kind of like a mix of Doug and Max.
kind of is. Because, like, he'll go over to his stove and you're like, he has no pants on. And I don't know why I'm shocked every time I watch one of his TikToks.
But he even says it, like, I'm not wearing pants.
Yeah. Okay, so what was the favorite part of this dynamic slash relationship? What was your favorite part of Eddie and Max?
I like that they're not serious with you. Like, I mean,
they're serious, but they're not. But
yeah, like they can give each other crap and not like take offense to it. Yeah. Like,
they're fun.
Yes, yeah, they are fun.
Well, and they're grumpy and sunshine, but the way the evolution, no one's annoying. You know how sometimes we get grumpy sunshine and you're like,
yeah,
these people are just flipping annoying. I didn't find anything annoying about the two of them. Mm-mm. What about the found family beats? Once they assemble their crew, I think it's there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just takes some time for them to like dig into that, because like when they first meet everybody, it's still like us versus them kind of type thing.
Yeah.
Then as it progresses, it adapts.
I think it'll be interesting to see how it like evolves into the next book.
Mm-hmm.
yeah
because I was seriously, I got to the end and I'm like, it just ends.
I know, I was the same way, Jenny. I was like, this is some bolt.
You can say it.
I was like, I had to read like the last three chapters, and I'm just like, it just ends.
It does just end. But you know what though?
There's some Cliffy rage there.
If I think about Olivia Dade's books, she does just end.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't even pick up on that it was a second book coming, because she really rarely does.
I was so mad. I looked it up and I was like, is there a second book for this? And it said online, we don't know. And
there's just a little tiny blurb past the questions.
I didn't see that.
Stay tuned for the second book in Olivia Dade's Supernatural Entanglement series, which throws together a down-on-her-luck oracle named Gwen and a starchy half-demon named Hugh as they work to unravel a worldwide conspiracy. Their story picks up immediately after Zom-Rom-Com ends and includes
death-defying
adventures, steaming romance, and a whole lot of cheese.
Is that in the audiobook? It was not. It just
ended. It's also not in the NetGalley copy.
Oh, well.
Because my paperback.
No joke. Well, I didn't open my paperback. Because no joke, it says an announcement page, TK.
Oh, because, but we got that. Like, I think we downloaded that back in March.
We downloaded, like, super early. Yeah.
Okay, what did we think of this world building? Because sometimes, so I do get caught up every once in a while in the fantasies, in the romanticies, in even the paranormals with the world building. Like, we raged for how long about how does time work in the sci-fi alien book last year.
Time to work. Sorry.
I thought that this was done in such a way that I didn't have to work too hard to understand how the world was for them.
And there's a map.
Yeah. Part of it. Wait, what? You got a map?
Yeah, there's a map.
Lindsay's so ragey right now.
That is not how I pictured any of this.
Yeah, it's like concentric circles.
Mm-hmm. I did.
And then the like, yeah.
Picture it like a bullseye. Yeah.
I didn't picture it that way at all. I pictured it as like a normal city. Like your average city. Probably not.
Janellen's like, it feels like everybody read a different book.
I'm just laughing at that.
It could be, Janellen, that some of us are medicated, some of us are unmedicated, and it's been a long week.
Some of us are just mentally tired.
Mentally tired.
It's been a long, I guess it's only the fifth, but it's been a long month.
But no, like, I didn't imagine it that way at all. So clearly the world building needed work, but I didn't think there was any problems with it.
But did you not knowing it was the bullseye, did you care?
No.
So you liked the world.
I did.
You just imagined it differently.
Of like, so like, there's this thing that they do, the authors can do, if you're not great at world building or if you don't want to spend a lot of time world building, you just pick a world that's not that different from like the modern world we all know and live in. And like Max Walker did that in his Paranormal Dragon series. And it creates a situation where you don't have to work too hard to jump into the paranormal genre. And also you can add a lot more, like situational comedy into your story that way, just because you're not taking up so much space in the page, like painting a picture of what's going on. Because like that's where, like with fantasy, you get like almost consistently 600 page books because they have to build the world, and if they don't
take the time,
then it's crap.
Well, and that's the thing, because like you have, like they go to the mall and like they go to the different stores and like experience different things in the different stores. So I think that it definitely, like, it's a new world in a common place. I mean, not that malls were common.
No, but I do agree that the only other thing I had a thought on is when she did info dump about the world, it was in chunks.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was word vomit, and then we just went on with the story.
Yeah,
word
especially vomit early on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's almost like, but the way it was written, it was almost like a thought tangent. So it didn't bug me the way that she created it. Because Edie is kind of she's a chaos gremlin, essentially, in some ways.
She is. And I do think that there was a campiness about this book that made you forgive some of that stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean,
like I said, it's very like, it's almost like the kitschy, like, vampire type thing.
Yeah. The writing, do you feel that the writing worked in this book? Because I know that, again, third person single POV can be very decisive for some people, some readers. Olivia Dade's writing can sometimes, people don't really connect. I think she's really hooky in the beginning, but she doesn't always deliver or keep you in the hook.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she'll get you those first 2-3 chapters, and then by the time you get to the middle of the book, you're like, why am I still here?
Yeah, what am I still doing? Sometimes it's just, but that's how she is in all of her books, so it doesn't always bug me. But like I said, for this one, like, I don't think I could have finished it, like, eyeballing it, just because of, like, the way that it played out. So I definitely was happy for the audio.
I do think the audio is best in this, because the first half is, it just zips along, but then we hit that second half, and the pacing just kind of plummets. And I didn't notice the abrupt ending, but I can see where that might have caused some rage for people.
But that's the thing, like, when you read an Olivia Dade book, you're kind of expecting it. So it's like, it bugs me, but it doesn't bug me at the same time.
Okay, so I was looking at some reviews online, and some people said this was like four chili peppers.
No.
What are they reading? This was maybe door? One.
What did you say, Liz?
Closed door.
I said maybe they're reading Closed Door.
I mean, maybe.
If you're going from Closed Door to this, maybe it's four chili peppers.
Yeah,
I could see that. There's only 2-3 scenes, right?
Yeah, but they were well done.
But they weren't over the top.
No, they weren't. But you figure what we...
The theme of the book, they weren't that much of the book at all.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was more focused on, like, him feeding and, like, the relationship that creates.
Mm-hmm.
And then the "we might die tomorrow when we go fight the vampires" goodbye.
Yeah, trauma bonding is...
yeah,
it's best.
Don't you think, and I know this is true for Amanda, don't you think that in paranormal and in these kind of like apocalyptic kind of romances that, or urban fantasies, that we're okay with instant connection more so?
Yeah.
Like,
well, I was okay with it because he had kind of been watching her for a while. Like, it sounds creepy.
He was watching.
He was. Right. In a creepy way.
He was. I mean, like, Chad was stalkers. Like,
he was emotionally invested in her.
Yeah.
Before she throws the burrito.
Yeah. That's true. And she thought he was the surfer bro named Chad. So,
can I review this review from Goodreads?
Yes. Please do.
This is one of the stupidest books I've ever read. It was like someone was trying to cosplay at Comic-Con, and for their costume, they basically cut two holes in a sheet, threw it over their head, and proclaimed, "I'm Gandalf." Like, no, you're not. And it's insulting to not only the real Gandalf, but to all the cosplay Gandalfs here who put tons of real effort and skill into their costume. Like, this is nothing about the book.
No. I don't think that person actually read the book, to be honest.
Well, they might have because okay, so because I have seen this
Maybe they
criticism.
were looking for regular zombies.
It's like a million pages long, this review. I'm gonna just email it to you.
Thank
Okay.
you.
Please do.
One of the things that I have seen criticized about this book is that this is where lots of readers feel Olivia Day should have stayed in her lane. This is not her voice. This is not her thing. And it's sometimes if you look at the reviews, even on Allie Hazelwood stuff, like if you read the reviews on Bride and Mate, people feel very much the same way. Like you're Allie Hazelwood, you're only supposed to write STEM romances. You shouldn't be deep diving over into paranormal and nodding and Omegaverse and all that stuff. And to that, I say, fuck right off.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
Because.
do you only read in one lane? Like, no, you don't.
Right.
Like, maybe
Yeah.
that person's book in that lane is not for you, but it might be for someone else.
But
But
also,
also,
who's to say you can't write of like
write what you want.
multiple like subgenres
Right.
in, yes, whatever the fuck you want.
Right. Absolutely. And that's the thing is I also think that Olivia Dade, because she has written these contemporary romances, but if we look at the one series that spoiler alert is in, it's kind of a bridge over to here, right? Because she shows that the idea of fandoms and fanfic and stuff is something that she's immersed in probably in her day-to-day life. And so for her to make the jump over to a zombie book or something like that, go for it. Just go for it.
But also it's like as she was like writing the book, like her voice didn't really change. Like you Like her writing style was very similar. Like there are authors who they write different styles of books, but then their voices change. So it's hard for you to recognize that it is the same author. But this book and all the other books of hers that I've read, like they all are similar in the way they're presented.
Lindsay, what did you think of the banter and the chemistry in this book?
It was entertaining. I kind of felt like it was very insta-love. I mean, it was definitely very insta-love. Like the book takes place over what, like 4 days?
Yeah, it's a
And
real quick turnaround.
it just hard for me to buy the insta-love thing. Like I felt like it was more of, I don't know.
And
I
see.
like their relationship. I thought they were silly together. I thought like there were a lot of comedic elements that were added that just made it
I
and
laugh.
lighthearted.
The one scene that sticks in my head is that first, oh no, we're kissing, and then there's the sheep thong reveal. I'm like, okay. And then the overpriced furniture store interlude.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I thought those were all funny scenes.
There's a lot of scenes that were like very funny, and it wasn't necessarily just between Edie and Max. Like it was, and but it wasn't like in your face. Like it was more of a subtle, like comedic side to it, which was nice. Like there's a lot of like deadpan, like type style of verbiage used.
I like the fae, ha half fae, like Girl Scout troop thing.
Yes.
We're
Yes.
fine. Okay.
That was such a fun addition to the story and very silly. Like I did not expect like so funny, but I didn't expect it. And then like you get to the end scene when they're like the battle of the zombies and they're just like little badasses.
Any thoughts on the French speaking zombies?
That was
And the like
so random.
Dora Explorer knockoff.
Yes. I'm just like, why are our zombies speaking French? Okay, we're going with this.
Who's to say they don't speak
This is
French?
true.
I
I
mean,
mean,
have you come across
they
a
had
zombie?
not
okay,
recently,
but
no.
like that moment in the end scene when like the Dora Explorer or like when she starts singing the theme song
right to get him to like follow her.
I think so that the funny. Title of this book promises exactly what you get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Zom rom-com.
Yeah.
There is nothing in this book to take seriously. Leah, that is like the perfect Frozen.
Yeah.
I think Leah's gone, but it's fine. We'll keep her there. It was so cozy. Like, I can't look at her because it's so... she's gone. Her computer must have been
gone now.
The campiness. I just think it was cozy. It was fun.
We watched Zombieland recently with the kids, and like it's that kind of like not so serious. Like we need to fight for. Like, they are fighting for survival, but, like, they're not, like, I mean, she's eating stuff out of a can. Like, they're not scrounging and farming and, like, you're not seeing everything in, like, super detail. It's just fun.
Yeah.
For almost falafel.
Yes. Is there chickpeas in it?
I'm like, that sounds terrible. And then she's like, it doesn't taste like that at all.
It was so good. It was did this book make you giggle, Jenny?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it because like it was like you said, like it doesn't need a TV app adaptation, but like I could see it in my head like totally playing out like the kind of show I would watch.
Leah said she got kicked out and she can't get back on. It's okay.
No.
That's okay. We're almost done. Okay. Was there any other parts you wanted to talk about before we do our thumbs up, thumbs down? No? Okay. Lindsay, thumbs up, thumbs down on Zom Rom-Com.
Thumbs up. It was a very fun book.
I thought so. Jenny, thumbs up, thumbs down?
Thumbs up.
And it's a thumbs up for me. I talked about it when I read it. I've talked about it a couple times on the podcast. I hope we do get a book two. I think this was hilarious and such a wild ride. I think it was a thumbs up for Leah too. But I think Amanda was a thumb sideways. So if you didn't love this, you might be on par with Amanda. And I think Amanda has such a high standard for PNR urban fantasy type stuff that, you know,
the expectations are different. That's fair. Yeah. And if she eyeballed Reddit, like that is stuff like from going back and forth, it's definitely a completely different.
It's a better listening experience than
It's a very, I could see it being a very different experience reading it because like there was a point in the book where I was like, this is a really long book, and I still had like 3 hours left in the audio, and I was like, dang. And I mean it was fine, like things pick up, like the pace is pretty consistent, there's constantly stuff happening, but I feel like eyeball reading it, it would have probably dragged for me just because of how long, like how long was the paperback?
It's really It's average size print.
It's like 400. Well, okay.
389 without the questions and acknowledgements.
It felt so much longer than that, though.
Well, but I think this is where we talk about Olivia Dade's problem with pacing. Because, like I said, she's really great and hooky in the beginning, and then in the middle, it messes. And then she gives you a really strong, outstanding ending. But I think that that's on par with how Olivia Dade writes. Okay. If people liked this, what other books should they be checking out? Do we have any? Okay. Assistant to the Villain by Hannah Nicole Mayer. I think the I Got Abducted by an Alien, Now I'm in a Trapped in a Rom-Com by Kimberly Lemming is on par with this. Bride by Allie Hazelwood. Go Hex Yourself by Jessica Clare. Not the Witch You Wed. I think that Very Secret Society of Irregular Witches by Sangu Mandana, and My Roommate is a Vampire, I think are all really good ones. So I think those are all good ones to check out. That's it for this episode of Buzzing About Romance. We hope you enjoyed our deep dive, or whatever this was, into the Zom rom-com.
Like I'm swirling around the toilet.
We just kind of swirled in a bullseye, like swam the moat. We'll be back here live Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the YouTube. I am unsure what our topic is. Probably should write that episode. And then we're back next week, where we are diving into a new to us author. I believe none of us have read this author before. We are reading Hard Knock Hero by Hannah Shield. This was the community vote for the month. So we're going to check that out next week. Thank you, everyone, for joining us here for this episode of Buzzing About Romance. Until next time, everybody, happy reading.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.